Josh gets some runway. This is Mega Maker 2021, Episode 3.
There's lots of opportunities to, especially with something like this. Like, I'm so excited about the work, and I feel like I'm making a lot of progress on Meeps, and so it's a lot easier to sit down for an hour and pump out, get a bunch of stuff done, than it is on, and also because of the tech stack that we're using with Laravel and Livewire and Tailwind. It's so quick. It's so nice. Livewire has just been amazing.
What are you using Livewire for?
So right now, the registration flow, it's just the one page right now, but I want to break it into multiple steps, and so Livewire was a nice way to do that, and so I've been able to start doing that slowly. But then the members index is Livewire, so that's nice. So for all the filtering and the search and the pagination, it just was really easy to get it in place, and it all just doing it live.
I didn't actually realize you'd built this. So in the member screen now, you can filter by skill, which was something we talked about, but the way you did it was really smart, because you can actually add multiple searches. Like, I want to know everybody who's good at Laravel and Tailwind.
Yeah.
Adam,
yeah,
we should hire him.
I know. I was like, I was showing Jimena that last night. I was like, it says creator of Tailwind in his profile, and this page is built with Tailwind. I was like, this is so meta.
Yeah, this is really cool, this whole part. Oh, and you can even do, like, filter by co-founder. That's cool.
It's been really nice launching with MegaMaker first as well, because we have all of these product people. So there's just been so many great recommendations from people for bug fixes. And somebody sent me an issue the other day that they ran into and the solution. So that was great. I was like, what other group could we have launched with that we'd be able to get this type of feedback with?
Honestly, so it's a secret superpower to have a community available that can help you with this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons I'm excited about Meeps. I'm always worried about how much demand there is for, like, how many people are doing this that want something like this. But for people who are in communities or are leading communities or are moderating communities, or really any group of people, association, meetup, whatever, knowing people is such a superpower. And it enabled Transistor to stay really small for a long time, because we were able to, we've got a database problem, let's just call Jack Ellis. We've got a Alpine problem, let's get on a screen share with Caleb and figure it out. And it's one of the reasons, I think, John and I were talking about this the other day, because I was talking about, I just turned 41, and things opened up here because of COVID and from COVID, okay. And I was able to have a little get together at my house. And it's been so long. It's been so long since I've had people over. It's been so long since I've hosted. And honestly, it's been so long since I've really invested in some of these friendships I have here. And it felt a little bit awkward at first. Everything about it, like even inviting people and wondering if they still liked me. Is anyone going to come to this? Am I even, am I just an old crust now? But then I was describing to John the scene of just like, eventually, whatever, 10-ish people show up and we're in a big circle on my deck and I get to hold court, which is my favorite thing, and just do it all day, basically. Mm-hmm. And Helen and John were on the call. Helen does customer success for us. She's like, that sounds exhausting. And then John's like, he's like, I don't want to do that. He's like, that's exhausting for me.
I feel the same way. That's it's funny. One of those, and maybe this is really normal for introverts, but I'm fine as long as I'm good one-on-one, and then I'm good with larger groups of people if they can't talk back to me. So if I'm on stage or if I'm like then I'm fine. But as soon as there's like a two-way conversation with more than one person, it's really, especially if there's people I don't really know very well, or there's like relationship down, so it's, I can hard. Do it, but it's certainly not, doesn't give me energy. That's definitely
Honestly, in some ways it's been nice, because I think in tech for a long time, extroverts and marketers and people like me were, it felt like I was almost like looked down on, like the introverted genius founder gets elevated. And and I think what's nice about this moment now is there's a lot of folks building companies, and they're realizing, we need a Jordan Gall. We need an investor like Alexis, who's like able to get out and network for you. So it's nice to see a little bit of balance come back, which is, you need both. This is the classic, for every Richard Branson, like Richard's got someone on his team that balances him out, or an investor or someone on the board that is his equivalent.
Right.
Walt Disney and Roy Disney. People don't talk about Roy very much, but he was like crucial to Disney even becoming a thing. There's lots of examples of this. And
oh, totally. Yeah, I have a friend here in out in Langley here who he's like multi-millionaire, started and sold multiple companies, and that was the very first advice he gave me when I asked him, like, how do you do this? Like, how is this, basically, what's the secret? And he just said, I learned everything I could, and then I hired people that were better than me. And that's just, that was the one piece that the first piece that he gave. So it was, and it obviously didn't really sink in for a while for me, but really in this last year, if you listen to my podcast, you can hear me go, oh yeah, I guess that doesn't just apply to when you can hire people.
Yeah.
At any point in your business, you have to be able to know, okay, I can't do this piece. I need somebody who's going to really run with it.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be an employee or a co-founder even. But you're going to need people in your corner that can help you out, that have different skills. And I think the secret weapon of the bootstrapper or indie maker is a community of people that you can reach out to, that you've built relationships with. And one thing in MegaMaker that I always try to emphasize is this has been going since 2013. And some of the relationships in that group have been going since then. So now we're on eight years. And you can't expect these quick wins. Like, you can't expect to just jump into somebody's DMs and instantly be friends and instantly have that rapport. But if James Van Dyne, who's in Japan, if he asks me anything, he's got it. He's been a friend in MegaMaker forever, and it's just, there's no question for me. If somebody jumps into any community for the first time, or a Twitter thread, or whatever it might be, and expects that same rapport, it just, some of these things take time to develop. And cultivating it for sure.
Absolutely. I was gonna say just realizing this last, as I a few months back transitioned from working on Upscribe full time to then looking for freelance work, I realized like a ton of the work that I got within just a couple of weeks of announcing that I needed it came from MegaMaker, like people in MegaMaker who just recommended to a friend or whatever. It's so much. But I've been in the community for a couple years, and I feel like there's a lot more investing that I can do there. But I have been sharing and like present in that community for 2 years now. But you're right. I feel like that for Ximena and I, there's this kind of safety net there where at worst case scenario, it's not hard to find contracting work because of this community that we have.
Yeah, and also even when I think about what's the difference between Transistor and IBM. IBM, if they want to get something done, they have to hire. That's their option. If Transistor wants to get something done, we have friends, we have a network, we have other bootstrappers who are in the same boat, and we help them, they help us. There's just... there's this get it done kind of attitude in this community that once you're in it for a while and you develop those relationships, it's such a huge advantage. IBM is, they're limited by who they can hire. They're going to hire whoever wants to work at IBM.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be able to reach out to whatever. I asked, like, Ben at Tuple, I asked him the other day, like, I just need a master services agreement template. And that would be like, if normally you just have to, hire someone to do that.
Yeah.
And
hours and hours trying to research and then not know if you have the right solution in place. And
One thing actually, I think that, like, John's inclination is I will ask for help way before John. And it might be a little bit of, and maybe some of this is smart actually, like engineers get where they're at by grinding through problems, like really figuring it out. And that's kind of what builds the knowledge base, is when you have to figure things out yourself. But there is something nice about just being willing to ask for help right away and just be like, okay, let's just solve this problem. Let me reach out to a handful of people and knowing when to deploy either is important, because you could be working on something forever and someone can just give you the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I think I tweeted about this recently. It was like, as a generalist and a like self-taught developer, that's always my instinct, is to just do it myself. And it's been to a fault in the past where there's just been times where it's, I'll just do that part. I know I can do that part. And I usually can, but that doesn't mean like that I'm going to do it quickly or the best that it could be. So whether that's marketing or whatever. Yeah. And that's always been the feedback that I get when I am have worked on teams in the past at different companies and stuff. It's, Josh, you have to stop lone wolfing it. You need to pull people in to help you. And I would just rather fight it out and figure it out myself.
Yeah.
Which does
have its benefits. There is benefits to it. I'm reading this book, Range, right now. And he describes this study of students learning math. And in North America and Europe, there's the tendency with teachers is to, the kids guess the answer. It's like reverse multiple choice. They guess the answer and the teacher says, no, yes. And so the students just learn to just like spit stuff out, and then finally someone will get the answer, but they'd have no idea how to get the answer.
Right.
Whereas I think it's in Japan, I could be wrong, but I think it's in Japan, they'll spend all day on a problem and they'll get the kids to come up to the board, explain why they think this is the solution, put their name by it, and they'll just continue to have kids try, really work on figuring it out.
Right.
And their math retention is like through the roof compared to other students around the world. So there's benefits to grinding it out and learning it. There's total benefits. The key is knowing when to deploy either. So why don't we give a quick update on Meeps? Where do you feel Meeps is at? What's going on with you and your other work? And what do you think is the next step? What do you think the next few months look like?
Right. Yeah, it feels like we're so close with the product. We've got some really great feedback from members at MegaMaker. And we've got a lot of the pieces that we felt were most important are done. And really it's the dashboard side. It's just making sure that whoever's running the community has the tools that they need to manually edit profiles or manage plans and things like that. And then also just like taking out, there's still some upscribe wording, so ripping some of that out and stuff. So that's really the big piece that's left. And then we actually had somebody sign up the other day. They found the registration form and created an account. And so I reached out, you may have noticed that it's not totally done. Fast for some follow up there just to see if
they actually signed up for the
created a community. So I just need to, so he hasn't responded to me yet, but anyways, that was funny.
Do you have to put a credit card in? Like, how did?
No, and I have it. It's hidden now. So if you try to register, it'll just take you to the homepage. Okay. So you have to go straight to the login form. So that kind of caused me to think through what are the pieces left in the dashboard that we need to clean up and wrap up. And but yeah, otherwise, yeah. So we've added a way to manage the pages. So we last week we talked about we wanted a homepage for logged in members and then a homepage for the public community. And so I've added that. So now we can have a custom homepage that members can see when they're logged in and they go to the main, the main homepage for the membership or the community. And then and sequences, we have some drip campaigns as well that I had to add. So I added those last week. But yeah, so it feels like it's in a really good spot. And really now it's what other features are potential customers going to need for this to feel like. Do we need to have an integration with Discord? Do we need to have, and those are things that we can add really quickly. But that feels like in the next step where we start to hopefully bring in some customers to use the community side of it. And
yeah. And for you personally, because you've been doing some freelancing on the side. So what's happening with that? And then what's going to, and you're also having a baby right away. And so what do you think the next, in terms of like just overall schedule for your life, what do you think's realistic? What kind of milestones do you think we could put out there to say, okay, reasonably, this is where I think we can be? And part of my feeling is a lot of the kind of launch work will probably be September, but maybe, I don't know how you're feeling, like it might be earlier.
So and like I mentioned before, because of the tech stack we're using, we're able to move really quickly. So I think we can for sure get it to a good place earlier than September, but with the changes recently, which, and I don't know how much I haven't talked to an investor about how much I can
so the problem was you were doing a lot of freelancing on the side. And then I just said, what if I invested some more money into Meeps for the next 3 months, I think we said. So I would just get you to basically send an invoice and I'll just, because right now we don't actually even have a Meeps company. So just send me an invoice from your consulting company for the next three months, every month, and I'll just pay it. Basically trying to give you full-time work on Meeps.
Yeah, which was, super, super exciting and opens up so much, obviously, for making progress on the product. Like, I feel like I said, we made a lot of progress, but that's just been, like, in between and when I can make time. And so actually being able to, like, work full-time on this, as long as the baby doesn't come tomorrow, like we talked about, it opens up so many things, so much more potential for progress and getting it out quicker, that's the next big kind of, that's the weight that I'm feeling now, is just getting it to a place where we can bring on a few customers and actually start seeing what people think and what they need and what's missing. Whether our hunches are correct about the public member directory being this big seller or big differentiator, compelling feature. I feel like this, I'm really excited. I feel like this opens up, really helps speed up that timeline. And
So it'll be basically for you, it'll give you some runway, July, August, September, and also some margin, hopefully, if the baby comes, and if you really don't sleep all of July, you've got some money that you can, pay your bills with, and then hit the ground running in August or September.
Yeah, just unbelievable. Like, just we really appreciate it.
And I wonder, what do you think is, how close do you think we are to being able to offer an early access, like credit card up front? We haven't even talked about that. I'm just making assumptions there.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think credit card up front is the way to go, or?
I don't know. Like, I prefer it, but it depends on the type of customer, I think, because there's been times in the past where I think that works great. If it's a product that people, already get it, it's sold. Okay, I understand what this does. I know that I need it. I'll pay for it. And maybe it's something, like, usually when I've launched products in the past, I'll start with credit card up front, and then if people say no, I really need to see it first, like I need to get in there, then work from there. But I do feel that's always, once again, depending on the product, but that's definitely my mm-hmm. preference, is to have that. Even if there's still a trial, we just having that credit card up front, is there's some validation there that people are willing to put, lay something out on the, take that risk. But mm-hmm. also, yeah, it's just nice when it's in place, when it is time to move forward with the trial. But yeah, so I think so.
I think that's probably, for especially for bootstrappers, you really need to know, is there enough momentum that people are going to pay for this right away? And my preference is actually, I think if you want to do an experiment, do, you know, like Transistor had an early access $10 plan. And I like the way Peter Soom is doing it with Reform. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing early access and it's like a cheaper annual plan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I wonder if there might even be an opportunity for Meeps here where we do like an early access $99 a year plan and get them to actually join a Meeps, like we talked about, like a
right,
Meeps
yeah.
mm-hmm. group. And that becomes the early access group. Hopefully it's people that are excited or at least curious about it.
Awesome.
And
yeah.
they pay $99 a year and get, maybe that gives them the pro level stuff, everything's in transitions. If the base plan ends up being $19 a month, and then there's a mid tier at $49, and then there's an upper tier at $99 a month, those early access people would get the $99 a year, $99 month account for $99 a year or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there might be something there that would be helpful, and maybe we could limit it. Say we're only going to take 10 or we're only going to take 15 or whatever. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, that sounds great. I do. Yeah, I like the idea of having like a smaller group to start, not for too long. I think some people will draw that out, that time out too long.
Yeah.
But for at least a few months or whatever, to have a smaller group. But I hadn't thought about that, like with, there's so many things we can do with the Meeps community that we've created
yeah.
secretly, that people are like early access customers already signing up for. We have 35 people that have at least showing interest and they want to know more about it. And so those, we can reach out to those people and do the same process that our Meeps customers will for converting
yeah.
them to members and things like that.
And more people need to sign up for that list. If you're listening right now, go to meeps.app and put your name on the list. Mm-hmm. I see some names I recognize on this list. This is mm-hmm. I'm glad there's I see some regular community names here, some real cheerleaders, some, and a few names I don't recognize. But the yeah, this, we need more names on this list, and if you're interested at all, definitely go sign up at Meeps. I wonder what we should do. This is an interesting dilemma. Because part of me feels like we're still in the experimentation stage. I don't want to get too wedded to this idea and business yet, because I still am waiting for that, to feel that pull. I'm getting feedback okay. from folks. You and I have been sending mm-hmm. video, but I still haven't felt that. I really want to feel that pull of the market. Haven't felt it yet. And so I'm cautious.
Okay. What is it? But, what did that look like in Transistor's case?
In Transistor, that's a good question. The evidence felt similar. It felt like kind of more cerebral. Like here's another article in the New York Times about podcasting. Here's more people talking about it. Here's more people starting a podcast. This is interesting. There's just mm-hmm. this, it felt like kind of these, more, yeah, more just, it was more of an intellectual exercise at first, just recording these things either mentally or on paper, going, okay, I've recognized this person here. But then the poll, part of it was we did have to put it out. We had to start getting people using it. We had to, once we had something that people, we could invite early access folks to, then it was like we started to feel like, how hard is it to get people to switch?
Okay. Yeah.
Which Meeps will have? How hard is mm-hmm. it to get to people to switch from Substack, from Ghost, from WordPress, from Memberful? How difficult is it to get to add is it for people to add this to their stack? Like, they're already using Discord.
Right, yeah.
But they've thought about this. How much momentum is there there? Yeah, that's a good point. Because it really didn't happen. I didn't really feel like the pull until we did early access. And then there's different levels of it. Because the real traction didn't happen until, like, we had early access, and that was like coming along. Then we did a launch, and then there's a surge of interest. But then traction was like in month 7, 8, 9. It was at least 3 or 4 months after the launch. So I don't know what's instructive about that, if it means that. That's interesting, because it's almost like you do have to commit a little bit before you can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always I think it's a common issue that indie hackers probably have. I know I have, is like how much time you put into it, how much work before mm-hmm. it's, okay, this clearly isn't working. And so, yeah, it helps in that. I feel like as soon as we talked about me transitioning to getting to work full time on Meeps for 3 months, it was like as quickly as possible, I'd love to get into early access so that as much mm-hmm. of that 3 months is spent actually with some customers, or at least trying to get customers, so we can see. Because I feel like at the end of that point, if we had an indicator of, if we feel like, okay, there's enough interest here, I've thought about potentially selling Upscribe. Right now, that's not really the plan, but it's mm-hmm. it's an option. And if we can see within that 3 months that there's some interest, maybe I could look at selling that and using that to fund some more runway for me to continue on it full time. Maybe there's funding options, but if we can mm-hmm. see that there's interest as early as possible, then that would be great. So I want to take advantage of that time. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like we can get at least into early access as quickly as possible. That would be great. Next milestone.
Yeah, I think early access is a key. So another thing we did have actually in terms of momentum is that the Transistor waiting list got up to, I think, 800 people.
Wow.
By the time we did the launch. So John had already been working on it. Mm-hmm. It's actually similar to the space you're in right now, because you already had a bunch of pieces for Meeps built. Mm-hmm. And then we signed some partnership docs in February 2018. We launched it officially in August, so February, March, April, May, June, July, so 6 months later, 7 months later. And by the time we launched, we had 800 people on the waiting list.
Okay. I remember you did a pre-launch thing with Product Hunt. Was that, how successful was that?
I think it's worth doing again. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it definitely helped. Actually, I might do that again. I might subscribe again to Ship.
Right, Ship. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. $79 a month, but I think it's worth it in the sense that it's worth it for me, at least, because I have a bunch of followers on Product Hunt, and so it gets it leverages that. So yeah, I think that will be something I can do for Meeps as well, is get that thing and going.
It does seem like a good, there's certain products that just don't work well on Product Hunt, but Meeps does seem like one that could could do well there.
Yeah, because it's gonna go right into the it's right in the pocket for creator economy. And and it's just what I'm hoping is that it's just a couple degrees off of what people are doing right now. So I showed mm-hmm. you this discussion I was having with the gal that runs Borderline podcast, borderlinepod.com. Mm-hmm. And she recently switched from Substack to Ghost. Perfect time to talk to somebody. What made you switch from
mm-hmm.
Substack to Ghost? What were you looking for? And how has it been so far? Are you getting what you want out of it? And to me, Meeps feels like it's just a few degrees off of what she has there. and we're suggesting a solution that brings in other things. Like, we're not going to do chat, but we're going to allow you to easily, we're going to give you the stack that says, okay, listen, we know how to do this. There's like the Basecamp way. Like, you want to run projects the Basecamp way? Here's how you run a community or a newsletter or a membership program or a subscription program the Meeps way. Okay. And it's just a few degrees off what people are doing. It's just a few degrees off what, and so if that jump is short enough and compelling enough, then, you know, the dream is that people would get into motion. Yeah, I think that's something that we should do for sure, is try to build up that waiting list. Mm-hmm. It's interesting though, because even building Meeps now, we're seeing that there's two sides to a Meeps that's really important. Yeah. The same process we're going through is the same thing that creators are going to go through. You really do need a waiting list. There's two types of subscriber. There's the leads, there's the waiting list, there's the free folks, and then there's the paid members. And I think for in the product, for us to distinguish between those two, like, we're already feeling it. And so for us to explore that, build up this free list, because eventually we're going to launch. And when we launch the paid Meeps, there's going to be some of those same dynamics. Like, you should get an early access Meeps just because you want to support the journey, just because you want to support Josh, right, and help him get this off the ground. It could even have some of the same feeling as this crowdfunding and like Republic and GitHub sponsors and all of these other Kickstarter type things. It could,
Patreon,
it could
kind of a,
yeah, it could have that momentum of, especially for early access or for folks that are curious or support what you're building here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a bunch of stuff in there that probably the next steps, and then the what that accomplishes is, whether it's like an official like credit card up front, regular SaaS sign up, or whether it's just, now for now, to get access to Meeps, you have to sign up for the Meeps community. And mm-hmm. and then once you become a member, you get your own account. And then you can start your own group, your own member group, your own subscriber group, your own whatever, however you want to use it. So
yeah, and this, and it's funny, like, now that we're going through this, I'm realizing like, this would be great for any software company, any business that's starting, to use a product like Meeps. Right off the bat, you can take payment, you can, mm-hmm. You have a drip campaign, you have a way to send emails out to these people right away.
Yeah.
And you could be, like, long before you even build your software product, you're actually able to take payment and create a little community. But also, the other part I wonder about is, even like later in for software companies, like with, in the case of Upscribe, I've been thinking a lot about this as well, is having a place where Upscribe's customers can support each other too. Like, mm-hmm. how would that impact support for a bootstrap company? Like, when all of a sudden your customers can help each other, they can ask a question and you don't have to be the one that fixes it or solves it for them. You actually have, which allows, obviously, reduced support, but it also allows to create these like superstars within your product. You have these people that are just really helpful and really knowledgeable about your product. There's just like this other kind of, this new level that happens. Or
actually, I want to do this for Transistor. You're inspiring me. You're motivating me. This is because for Transistor, we thought for a long time, like, a lot of our competitors have Facebook groups, and John and I hate Facebook. And then we've thought, oh, maybe we should start another Slack group. And I've just always been, I don't like the infrastructure for figuring that out. But, and I also have been had on my list to build like a vendor directory for, here's the podcast editors we recommend. And here's the, so I wonder if I could accomplish all of that. Like, totally. With a customer directory or a customer community. And then, like, you could tag yourself with podcast editor or whatever. And then if someone's looking for an editor, they can just find.
Oh, that's so cool.
So
yeah, Transistor would be a great use case for this, because like I've got like a bunch of podcasts in there. I also manage podcasts in Transistor for people, so for me to, it would be so easy for me to answer any type of podcasting related questions in a community like that as an editor and a manager in Transistor and hosting my own podcast in Transistor.
Yeah,
there's probably tons of that. So for people who, tons of people like that. So for people who are just starting out with the podcast in Transistor, just like an easy.
And also think about this. Think about this, Josh. Think about the members widget. So you want to show who's a customer, who's ever made their profile public in Meeps. You just have the iframe and you can put it right on your homepage and you can see these people right there. And I gave you that idea for membership profiles. There's a place for them to put in iframe for their latest episode right on their profile page. Or there's a place for them to put their a video explaining what they do or what their podcast is about or whatever. Like that is, that would be pretty dope for any company. Any SaaS company can, now has a way of featuring their customers how in however way they want, like maybe, and however your customers want, they can opt in. This is good. I think we should wrap it here. We got some, oh, I wanted to tell one more story. Sorry, folks, 48 minutes. I was with my barber. This, I think, what I'm trying to do here is just paint a picture of, I'm not sure if I'm even going to do this, but I got fired up about it. Talking to my barber, and he is like probably actually one of the best barbers in Canada. Like he goes to conferences, he speaks, he's well known on Instagram. He's booked from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day.
Wow.
Booked out 4 to 6 weeks at a time. Like you can't get an appointment with him 4 to 6 weeks. And a haircut is, I don't know, $38-$40. I can't remember what it is. But it's not, he's charging a good rate. He's doing everything. But even him, is there's this challenge for him to have, to really have a good life for him and his family. He's going to need something else. And in his space, what usually happens is, do you know Matty Conrad? Have you heard that name? He's in Vancouver. And he started a company called Victory. And it's like hair products and all sorts of other things.
Okay. Is Victory Barber, is that them too?
Yeah, yeah, Victory Barber.
Okay, my buddy works there.
Okay.
Yeah,
so to like get, if you want to augment your services revenue, then you need to get into physical products. And as I was talking to him, I was like, because I've been telling him for years that he should do something in something digital. And we've explored, like, maybe he should do, like, an online course for barbers and other things. But with Meeps, I was like, man, this is an opportunity. Like, the same kind of thing you might start a Substack for. One thing I've toyed with him in the past and said, there's just a lot of dudes that want to figure out how to look and dress and groom themselves like a gentleman. Like, I'm just a schmuck. I'm just like, I wear t-shirts and I wear jeans and that's as sophisticated as it gets. And when I have to go to a wedding or my daughter's graduation or a fancy dinner, I'm like freaking out. I don't know how to dress. I don't know how. And even in general, like there's like going to a good barber was a huge step up for me. It was all of a sudden, it was like, wow, like I feel way better about myself. I feel like it just augments the thing. And so he could start a Substack called like a fine gentleman or a gentleman's club, wink, wink. There's this things he could do that I think would actually make a great Substack. But on Meeps, it would be even better. Like a fine gentleman or a gentleman's club where all of a sudden you join, you say, hey, here's some stuff about me. You get linked into a Discord group. There's a weekly newsletter about, okay, here's five grooming steps that every man should take. You got to trim your nose hairs. You got to trim your ear hair. You got to, you know, just the going through the steps.
Yeah.
And, or here's how to buy, here's, let's go through a wardrobe. Let's go through Justin's wardrobe. There's 50 t-shirts from software companies and a few pairs of jeans and a few pairs of shorts and like some old clothes you haven't worn in 2 decades. Let's do a refresh of Justin's wardrobe. We'll lay it all out and we'll do a teardown. That's what I'm looking for. So I got fired up about this idea. I might do it just as an experiment with Meeps, just to see what would it be like to... Is it possible? And even feeling the pain of the creator, like you're going to launch something like a Substack. Right, yeah. Or my buddy Chase Reeves has a YouTube channel for bags. He does bag reviews. And what's he missing? He's missing like this opportunity, I think, for dudes that like want to travel, want to have a nice bag. He's also doing clothing now. But the community aspect feels like that could be killer. Oh, and then for my barber, the whole idea was like, that could be his augmented income. Because digital is not limited to Vernon, British Columbia. There's millions of dudes around the world who, like me, are insecure about their whatever. Their grooming, their how to get some clothes that look okay, all that stuff.
I've been talking to Jimena about skincare stuff too. I have some really bad like blackheads and stuff, but like I don't know where to look for men's skincare routines. I also don't really want to post about it. It's a little bit embarrassing. Yeah. So to have a community where it's, you're going to go there and everyone's
safe.
These are people like me. Yeah. Like we're.
Yeah. Watch for that. Maybe we'll start a gentleman's clink on Meeps and that'll be the experiment. And then I think like I would partner with my barber and all the. I'd just get him to set up a Stripe account and all the money would go to him.
Cool.
So little idea, little inspirational idea. Yeah, let's wrap it.
Okay.
Sound good? Stuff.
Yeah.
Go to meeps.app, sign up for the waiting list. We would really appreciate it if you share it with your friends, share the podcast with your friends. There's been people on Twitter sharing episodes. If that's you, thanks so much. If you're feeling any sort of like inspiration, clip an episode in Overcast, share it on social media, talk about it. If you have friends who are YouTubers or Substackers or run the local Rotary, get them to sign up for the waiting list. We actually do need your help because that list isn't going to grow itself. So if any help you have and you can offer would be great.
And yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see you
next time we record. Goodbye.
Bye. Good outro. I'm like, goodbye. See you later.
See you later. What was the comment I got on? I can't actually publish this. I had someone tell me that I couldn't say, what was it? See you next week. Was that it? See you next week. It was like I was saying a string of words that the acronym was dirty, and they're like, you got to stop doing that. It really triggers me.
Really?
What? It's like, and we'll see you next week. And I was like, what was it? It was so.
That's.
I was
so
like,
mean.
"What is going? What is going on here?"
I've never. Yeah.
I can't remember what I was saying. I obviously taught myself not to say it anymore, but not that it was a big deal. John was like, "Don't. We don't even care."
Yeah. No. I was. Yeah. That's funny.